Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. Again, use the code SPORTSHUB. And if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gamblinghelplinema.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.
B-Pod Studios.
Making the workday a little more entertaining.
Floppity flop flop flop.
It's Zoe and the Beetle on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Mike Giardi was on Toucher and Rich this morning. Mike Giardi, formerly of NBC Sports Boston, now of NFL Network, plugged-in football guy, speculating on the number for Rob Gronkowski's cap hit is $11.5 million.
Beetle, the Bruins just traded for Charlie Coyle, and you're going to talk about Rob Gronkowski right now?
I'm going to continue to talk about Rob Gronkowski.
Okay.
He's a Weymouth guy.
Great.
So awesome. Sure.
Love that. Excellent. What else am I supposed to say about him?
Don't really know.
Yes, he is. He's from Weymouth.
Guy, his neighbor called earlier. Remember that? That was a great moment in show history.
Love that. Excited about that. But Rob Gronkowski's cap number, 11.5, cash out, $10 million. And, Mike Giardi believes that money would be on the open market if Gronk wanted it too. So here he is on this morning, TNR.
I think his play moved them a little bit, you know. So I think you start looking at the cost of some of these wide receivers that you're talking about that are in free agency or guys like Odell and Antonio Brown, and you look at the cost and you say, man, that's some obscene money. And if Rob can influence the game the way he did as a blocker, and then, you know, you pick your spots with him as a receiver, that maybe that, you know, $10 million is not as obscene and crazy as we thought it was going to be. And I'm talking to one of his teammates, Dwayne Allen. He was like, you know, people talked about him and he had a down year. And, it, you know, obviously by his standards, he did. But 47 catches and the way he blocks, he's like, I don't know, you go around the league, what's that worth? $7.5 million, $8 million, you know, and you're talking about he's being on the books for $10 million. Is it that crazy to think that if you don't pay him, someone else will give him that same kind of money? And I kind of agree with him. If for whatever reason he still wants to play and they don't want to pay him and they cut him, then I don't think there would be a shortage of suitors and a shortage of money out there. The way this has all worked out is that Rob all of a sudden sort of has a little bit of the hammer here, and that certainly, you know, none of us thought that was the case back in December.
What do you think the market value of Rob Gronkowski is if he is indeed no longer the Patriots?
Based on the way the cap's gone up, I would almost guarantee you that someone would pay him $10 million or more.
Are you
for
kidding
at least
me?
1 year.
1 year, $10 million? Who can't take that on? Who can't fit Rob Gronkowski? Everybody could fit Rob Gronkowski.
Sure.
Problem is, Rob doesn't want to play for another team. We know that about him. He doesn't want to play for another team. He basically told us that. He told us that he threatened to retire last year when the team talked about potentially trading him to Detroit. Rob Gronkowski himself said, yep, it's true, but this is my team. This is my quarterback. He wants to play for the Patriots. So you could say, oh, the team has a little bit of leverage there if they want to try and get him to take a cut. His leverage is, go ahead, try and cut me. Let's see if you actually do it.
Call my bluff, right?
Call it.
See if you can do it.
Go ahead.
I was just thinking about this now, and then maybe this is obvious, but say the Patriots had a deal in place to send Gronk to, I don't know, Pittsburgh, or a team that's good with a good quarterback, not Detroit. You think he still has that hardline stance? You think he says, I'll never play with another quarterback other than, well, we're trading you to Green Bay, you're going to be with Aaron Rodgers. Okay, no, forget it. I got to stay here. Like, do you think that was true? Do you think he really meant that, or he just didn't want to go to Detroit?
I think he doesn't want to leave. I just don't think he wants to play somewhere else.
Mm.
I think he's close enough to retirement that he doesn't want to go somewhere else just for a season, right? And I really do. I believe he's completely genuine on that part. He wants to play in New England. He doesn't want to go anywhere else. This is where he wants to play. He wants to play with Tom Brady. This is his place. So I don't think it was just the Detroit thing. No.
I don't really either. But part of me thinks that, you know, as much as Gronkowski really made it about staying here and playing with Brady, and he doesn't want to be, you know, with any other quarterback or any other guy, I don't know. I mean, does he want to end his career like that? Is he ready to call it quits for good?
No.
Because the team moved on from him? Like, that seems like a lot of bluster and maybe not a lot of facts.
See, I think the bluster might be on the other side. Don't be so convinced that the team would go ahead and cut him. Because I'm not sure they would. I'm not sure they want that look. And when they look at it and say $10 million, okay, do we wish he wanted to make 8 instead of 10? Yeah, but what are we going to do? Over $2 million? Over a little bit of money to a guy who's still pretty good? He's not Rob Gronkowski good anymore. He's on the back end of the career, but he doesn't suck.
No, certainly doesn't suck.
That's not what's going on here. This is a guy who's very much still worth having on your team.
But has he played himself into a position now with his skills, which don't appear to be getting better, where drafting someone or, you know, going out in free agency and picking up somebody who's younger and less banged up might be better value? You know,
should be doing that anyway. They should be doing both.
They should do both of those?
They should be keeping Gronkowski and drafting a guy.
And drafting his replacement?
That doesn't mean drafting in the first round or second round, but they should be drafting another tight end. They should be making an effort to continue to draft at that position. Yes, you can do both. Dwayne Allen was on the books for $4 million this year. He was getting paid $5 million the year before. His salary goes up this year to about $7 million.
And we all think he's overpaid, right?
See you later. Yeah. Like, that guy's gone. You get rid of him, and you draft a guy, and you try and find some youth at that position, because what they've tried to make work there hasn't recently.
No, definitely not. Yeah. And, again, well, Bennett worked a little bit, but, you know,
I'm talking about young players.
Younger players, yeah. Sure. And you're right. But I think that, you know, you just mentioned Dwayne Allen. He was overpaid, right? At $6, $7 million.
Without
that was a vast overpayment. So now we're going to give 10 to Rob Gronkowski, who's a blocking tight end that catches now a little bit. Like, I mean, that doesn't seem to jive, I guess. If you want to make exceptions for Gronkowski, I don't really see, you know, why that's such a big deal. But for the Patriots, making exceptions like that isn't generally how they do business. They already made a big exception for him last year where they had a trade in place, and then the quarterback walked in and said, "You trade him, I'm gone too." That's an exception they had to make. They were forced to. If they're not forced to this year, I don't know. I feel like they'll maybe take the reins back a little bit on the situation.
617-779-0985. So we got that. And also Kyrie Irving. We're talking about both of these matters. 617-779-0985. Chris in Pittsfield up next. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hey.
Hey, if you look in the dictionary for the name douchebag, I think Kyrie Irving.
Okay, that seems a little strong.
Is that in the dictionary, by the way?
usually I think the Merriam-Webster one includes all the bad, naughty words.
Should I search for this on the work computer here?
I think look up the Merriam-Webster dictionary. Okay. Let me do a search, see if his picture is in. It is in there. Definition.
oh, there it is.
You want to go for definition number two, which is chiefly U.S. slang, which is slang for an obnoxious, offensive, or disgusting person.
Yes. I wouldn't go that far. That was harsh from the caller.
Yeah, felt a little much.
Yeah.
Felt a little much. Bill's in New Hampshire. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys. Appreciate you taking my call. Hey, look, I'm not going to dispute the fact that Kyrie is a top five talent, but the way that he's functioned this year, I think Christian makes a very good point about Jason Tatum and Terry Rozier, that they were able to go one game before the NBA Finals without Kyrie being a part of that whole process, which raises the question, why would Danny want to risk re-signing or taking advantage of the player option, trading for Anthony Davis with no guarantee they're going to hang around, as opposed to what he's done in building a really good young class and then, you know, picking up a free agent in 2020. I know Giannis is available. Kristaps Porzingis, he's restricted this year. He'll be unrestricted in 2020. I mean, to me, those are two better fits for the Boston Celtics moving forward with the young nucleus that they have right now. as opposed to trading away what they've already built and praying to God that Anthony Davis and Kyrie are going to hang around for the long term. So I'd appreciate your thoughts. Thanks.
Christian?
There was a lot there, but I mean, I think that if you look at the youth on this team and believe in the youth on this team, which I do. I mean, I think that, you know, Jason Tatum has a high ceiling here. I think Jaylen Brown's a good player. And, you know, I don't know if Terry Rozier is going to stay. He probably isn't, no matter what Kyrie Irving does. But I think that, you know, whatever your belief system is with this team and the future and sort of how they're going to go, I think there's one very clear doomsday scenario for all of this. And my doomsday scenario is a pretty simple one. Kyrie leaves, you trade Tatum for Davis, and then Davis leaves, and now all of a sudden you're going into 2020 and you have no Kyrie, you have no Davis, and you have no Jason Tatum. That's the worst possible outcome you can have. And Danny Ainge basically just has to do whatever he can to avoid that. And I think that there's ways to sort of dip your foot into it and not quite go full, you know, trade and mortgage the future for Anthony Davis or whoever else. But it's a fine line. And Danny so far has, you know, built up to this point. But think about it. I mean, think about if you use all these assets, all these draft picks, young players, you know, everything, and it all comes down to one season maybe where you have Kyrie and Davis, and then all of a sudden they're all gone and you don't have Tatum anymore either. What a disaster that would be. I mean, that would really be the worst possible outcome after all these years, all going all the way back to the Brooklyn trade. It's all been leading up to this. And now they're dangerously close to it all just circling the toilet here. And that would be one of the biggest disappointments in Celtics history that didn't involve, you know, Len Bias or Reggie Lewis or something like that. Those were tragedies. But this would be probably the biggest disappointment in Celtics history if this doesn't get, you know, resolved somehow.
What's going on?
Zolak and Bertrand continues.
Hey!
On 98.5, the Sports Hub. Listen to the podcast on the 98.5, the Sports Hub app.
Let's go right back to your calls as promised. Gronk, Kyrie, you know, big time athletes. You want to talk Charlie Coyle? I'm happy to hear it too. It's always welcome. Barbara's in Beverly. Hi, Barb.
Hi, Mark. I wanted to apologize for yesterday about
Why?
Antonio Brown.
Why?
Because I found out things. I don't follow social media, and I knew nothing about his backstory. I only knew about his play on the field. And I don't like the idea of a superstar coming into that environment and disrupting the way they play. And I apologize for that opinion.
I don't think an apology is necessary. I think most people don't know the things that have been accused, that he's been accused of off the field, and that's Antonio Brown. In fact, I would say that right now we have someone in studio who's well-versed in the Antonio Brown backstory, because I've heard you talk about it, Christian Argand.
Really?
Yes. In fact, I learned some of the stories about Antonio Brown.
Really?
By listening to Jones and Arcand at night, talking about all the crazy things he's been accused of, throwing the chairs off the balconies and all kinds of, you know, violent stuff that he's done off the field.
I'm glad we're making a difference at night here. Helping,
yes, you
helping
are.
People,
I've heard
you know?
It.
Really.
You've informed the listeners of that.
That just warmed my
yes.
heart. It's true, though. Yeah, I mean, he threw a bunch of furniture and stuff. He almost hit a little kid, allegedly. He was driving like 150 miles an hour through some town in Pennsylvania, and he pushed his girlfriend. I mean, you know, he's not a good guy. Basically, that's it. I mean, if these things are true, which it seems like, you know, a lot of smoke there for there to be no fire, he's not a good guy, but he wouldn't be the first bad guy the Patriots ever signed, that's for sure.
That's true, but I don't think Josh Gordon was a bad guy. I just think he's sick. Randy Moss was a little bit different, so I think he kind of poisoned the locker room a bit. I don't know if you think that's true. But the other, what I did want to ask you guys, and I really like your opinion, do you think they will re-sign Gronk? Because I think he wants to play. And I think in his heart he just wants to finish in New England. And I think he would settle for his contract. Do you agree with that, or do you disagree?
Well, I think what it comes down to is the yay or nay on the pay cut.
Right.
And that might be a more important question now than does he want to retire and is he coming back? What's he going to say to that? They don't have to re-sign him.
Mm-hmm.
He's signed. He's got a contract. It will pay him $10 million this year. It's a matter of, does the team want to pay it? Is the team willing to pay that? That's what it comes down to.
I think the Patriots will make him an offer. I don't think it will be $10 million. And they'll say, take it or leave it, and that'll be their leverage. They'll say, hey, we made him an offer.
And won't
we
this
want
be,
him back.
Won't this be a good way to sort of measure whether or not Bill is still like really hardline, sticking to his principles, or if he's gone soft, so to speak? He's a little softer in his older days here as a head coach. We've heard that accusation when it comes to the way he treats players with, you know, OTAs and going to Fenway Park mm-hmm. and playing cornhole and that entire field trip day, right? That he's not as hard as he maybe once was. Isn't this, in a way, a test of a different sense?
Totally. It totally is. And if this
because
stuff...
cutthroat Bill Belichick says, yeah, I don't think you're worth it. Take a pay cut or you're gone.
Yeah. And also, if these rumors about Brady's next contract, based on some of the stuff we've heard there about how Brady's going to be able to play for whatever he wants to, and then he'll decide when he wants to call it a career. I mean, just think about this. Bill Belichick, he drafted Jimmy Garoppolo, what, 5 years ago? 6 years ago? I mean, the plan was not for Tom Brady to be here dictating when he's going to decide to call it quits.
Right.
That was not Bill Belichick's plan at all. And, you know, if you want to sort of look at it through the eyes of what he was hoping to accomplish in his time here. I mean, yeah, they did win the two Super Bowls, and I'm sure he's not upset about that. But this wasn't his plan. If things went the way Bill wanted them to, I don't think Tom Brady or Rob Gronkowski would have been on the team this year.
Al's in North Reading. Hi, Al.
Hey, guys. Great show. Arkane, glad to see you with the station.
Well, thanks. Glad to be here.
Okay. To date, you know, the Celtics season's been frustrating based on expectations, you know, between the frustrating situation with Hayward and the up-and-down play of Jaylen Brown. But two guys that kind of bother me are Tatum and Irving. One with Tatum is this stuff with Kobe Bryant giving him instruction on how to play basketball. You know, why doesn't he work with Ingram, for example, or Kobe afraid?
Why doesn't he work with who?
Ingram from the Lakers. Why doesn't he help him out, or is he afraid of getting LeBron upset? And then he's telling people that the best way to build a championship team is to have conflict in the locker room. And then you got Kyrie with this calling LeBron and apologizing. And what I'm getting at is, underlying, it seems like the Lakers are in the heads of two of the Celtics' key players, Kyrie and Tatum. And, is Luke from Vermont or Luke from California now going to call Brad Stevens and tell him how to coach the team? Or is Magic going to call Danny Ainge and say, here's how to build a team? I think the Lakers are getting into the heads of these two guys. What do you guys think?
Well, that's a new one. I haven't heard that.
Hadn't thought of that, yeah.
Hadn't thought of it that way.
I mean, the Lakers should worry about making the playoffs and not getting into the Celtics' heads. That's my take on this. But his thing about Kobe Bryant, I agree with 100%. Did you read the thing about Kobe and Kyrie Irving?
No.
I have it right here. This was unbelievable. I read this. I couldn't believe what I was reading. This is from The Athletic. It was Joe Vardon who wrote this. Kobe Bryant and Kyrie Irving working out together when Kyrie was still in Cleveland. Here's the passage that everyone's going nuts about. Kobe's message to Irving was basically that great teams need a player who causes conflict inside the locker room on purpose. First of all, wow. That great teams need someone who makes his teammates uncomfortable and things might be otherwise easy and quiet. Bryant lived this, clashing with Shaq during the Lakers' run and pushing management to reshape the roster and sign Pau Gasol. At the time of Bryant's retirement season, Irving was with the Cavaliers and LeBron. Bryant opined that James was not cut out to be a lightning rod conflict creator, but Irving was. And Irving agreed. First of all, that's the worst advice I've ever heard.
You need to be a conflict creator. What the hell?
What?
What are you talking about? Is that the Mamba method?
That's the
be an a-hole? Yeah, here's my advice, Kyrie. Be a pain in the ass. Be a problem. What?
That's how you win.
Make everybody hate you. You don't want anybody getting comfortable. Be the bad guy. Huh? What?
Is that what he told the Patriots last offseason? They all looked around and said, what the hell is this guy talking about? Maybe we should stop doing this.
We got to do conflict creation. Create conflict. That's how you win. Huh? That doesn't make any damn sense.
My God. They won in spite of Kobe and Shaq clashing like that.
I get the point that is like it's a deep state Lakers there or conspiring. <Deep state. laughs> conspiring against the Celtics.
Something tells me Kobe and Shaq having conflict is not the same as Marcus Smart and Terry Rozier having conflict. Yeah, it's not going to create the same results.
Different level of result there.
Yeah.
Oh, man, that's a good one.
Kyrie and LeBron, conflict, sure.
Right.
Marcus Morris, Terry Rozier.
I'll tell you what, Kyrie.
Sorry, I don't know.
Sign back here and save the conflict creation for when Anthony Davis is here. How's that? Actually, no, wait, never mind.
Yeah, don't.
Then he'll leave, too.
just maybe forget that Kobe told you that.
Brendan's in South Carolina. Hi, Brendan.
Hey, you guys. How you doing?
Hey, Brendan.
Thank you for switching it up just a little bit there. You're killing me with this Kyrie stuff. You're killing my lunch. My whole lunch hour is shot. It's gone. This is it. Guys, I'd rather listen to Maroon 5's halftime performance than talk about Kyrie.
So all right, so what do you want to talk about then, Brendan?
The Bruins are hot. They're hot. They won 7 in a row. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about trade deadline.
All right, give me a Bruins take.
Something more positive.
Give me a Bruins take.
Positive energy. You know?
I want your Bruins take.
My Bruins take. I think they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's what I'd say. I'm willing to put money on that. No problem. They're making it to the Conference Finals. The Cup, that's up in the air. That's up to the hockey gods. Puck luck, playoffs, it's a whole different game.
Brendan, I got to be honest with you. I don't think you'd be very good at doing my job.
I mean,
good take. Speakerphone on puck luck.
Puck luck, yeah. They're going to the Eastern Conference, but the Cup,
the
man.
The Cup is up in the air.
Puck
that's
luck.
The only thing we got to figure out. Are they going to win the Cup or not? I don't know. I don't think that brings them in. I don't know that it does.
I almost made it the full 4 hours without raging out on a call. You remember the last time we worked together, Beadle?
Was that last year at this week?
It might have been. It might have been. It was in the old studio.
Yeah.
And that guy called in about Ken. I just lost it.
Was it about
Yeah.
Kaepernick?
I don't know why I got so mad at that guy. All right, so what do you want to talk about then, Brendan?
Jim, don't lose that clip. I need that.
All right, so what do you want to talk about then, Brendan?
This is the flagship station of the Boston Bruins.
Pasternak. Shoots, he scores the hat trick.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
They would be doing something about it, not kneeling for the national anthem. They would be going to these communities. They would be trying to help them.
Jackass, they're doing that. All right, so what do you want to talk about then, Brendan?
Every time we get him in here, Christian Arcand gets fired up.
You know it takes a while. Yeah.
When he's on
Jackass, they're doing that.
There was a lot more to that fight, too.
Yeah, I know. That guy, I don't know why that guy, he said like four or five things in a row exploded.
He said
right
four
out
or
there.
Five things that he said people, players that were kneeling should have been doing. And it was four or five things they had been doing.
Yeah.
Which I think set you off.
That was it. Yeah.
Like they're doing those things. You just don't want to pretend it's not happening.
Yeah. It's a slow build, but you get there, boy. It happens.
When it boils over. Yeah. Look out.
Mount Vesuvius.
Does this happen at night?
Not as often as you might think, you know, considering who I'm sitting next to.
I just
to,
assume
yeah.
It happens like once a night.
Yeah.
There's got to be one blow up on a caller a night.
No, not so much. We don't get that many calls at night. First
How
of
is the working relationship at night between you and Adam Jones?
Honestly, I think it's fine.
I think it's pretty good.
I enjoy
sense,
it. Yeah.
I've stopped in a few times to see you guys.
Right.
Everything seems good. Everything's cool.
I've never taken a job before where so many people came up to me and said, you know, good luck, man. Like, it's going to be really tough. You're going to really hate him. It's going to be just constant anger, bickering every single night. It really hasn't been that much of that. And it's not because I agree with him on everything.
People that were saying you were going to legitimately not like Adam Jones?
Yeah.
Really?
Maybe not here, but, like, in general, that's sort of
like
the idea.
Who doesn't like Jones?
Huh. Who doesn't? Is that a serious question?
Yes. Like
people
as
that don't know him.
Well, yeah,
right.
No, I'm saying
yeah, exactly.
people that right. know him. I'm assuming that when you said people said good luck, you're going to hate him. They were people in the business, no?
Not so much, no.
Oh, okay. Well, then, yeah. No, I totally get it.
People are asking.
No, I totally get why everybody
sarcastically.
I totally get why everybody would say you're going to hate that guy.
Yeah.
Yes.
Those people want to talk about Charlie Coyle right now.
They're right.
I want to talk to those people.
That's what they're into.
I'm like, anyone who knows Jones loves Jones.
Jones,
I don't think Jones has a single enemy in the world.
He's very easy to work with, and I like. And also, in the past, I've worked with people who much older than me.
Cattles
didn't like him.
No, personally, I think he did.
Personally, they got along. Yeah. Professionally, they did not.
Yeah. I don't know about personally either.
Yeah, I think that would be debatable.
Yeah.
I don't think Jones has any ill will.
I don't think he does either. I don't know for sure. I try to stay out of that. I don't like talking about the guy I replaced that much. You know what I mean? It just
I get it.
I don't want to do that.
I hear you.
I worked with Cattles a few times. I got along with them fine. But, you know, I was sort of new then, and, you know, not like I wasn't when I yelled at that guy over the kneeling for the anthem.
We had a great time with Cattles at the Super Bowl. Great time.
This year?
Yeah, this year.
They sent him to the Super Bowl?
He goes every
in
year.
Virginia?
Oh, yeah, wow. He's gone
every
year.
He's the PD now. He can send himself.
Right. That's
he's
right.
In charge.
Yeah, management.
He submits his own expenses to himself.
I'll tell you what.
Approved.
Working with Jones is a great springboard. You work with Jones, you're in drive time, you're in management, you're going to the Super Bowl. I mean, you know, good stepping stone for me, hopefully.
That's true. I think that's true. There are some success stories coming out
there
of the night show with Adam Jones. 617-779-0985 is the telephone number. I just saw a story that I want to mention briefly. And that is that Bryce Harper has turned down multiple offers of more than $300 million. How amazing is that for him, number one? Turning down the offers at this point.
Mm.
Serious question, though. At what point does he say, I got to go back and play baseball?
Do you believe it?
Yep, I do.
Coming from Boris Mouthpiece Heyman?
Who do you think has... Yeah, that is true. That always has to be factored
right
in. Who do you think, all right, Machado versus Harper. Harper's numbers are down. He's not worth the money. And nobody's worth this money, $300 million.
Mookie Betts is.
Assuming that Machado is, right?
I guess, if you're going to set the market that way. But, yeah, I mean, no, if Machado's worth this, then Mookie's worth more.
Boots is, if you're looking at Mookie's situation, he's absolutely worth more than $300 that was paid.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is a better long-term bet? Harper or Machado?
Harper.
I think he is too.
Yeah.
Now, his numbers recently are down. But I think longer term, I think Harper might be a better bet. Listen, it's hard to know.
Is this based on health, production, his temperament?
I think it's based on the health.
Yeah? I mean, Harper's been banged up a lot.
He has been banged up.
And he plays like a son of a gun.
Manny Machado's knee to me is still scary. I don't know why. It's just, it was such a serious injury when he had it that all of a sudden guy hits his 30s and the thing acts up. And
yeah.
I don't know. I look at Dustin Pedroia now and say, oh, look what happens to guys with knee injuries when they get into their 30s. Right? I don't know what it is. I still think knee is one of the things that can still slow a guy down to the point where he's not a player anymore.
Like Dustin Pedroia.
Despite all the advances in surgery and medicine, and it's great. I mean, you look at a guy like Bobby Orr who played in the 70s. Imagine if he had played in the 2000s.
Mm.
He would have had those knees fixed. He would have been playing forever.
Yeah.
So, I think Harper might. Again, it's not a strong case that he is the better bet. They're both in the same ballpark. But how much more money, if it's true, if it's Heyman telling the truth and not just being a mouthpiece for Boris, like he has been so many times before. If it's true, how much money is he looking for? What's his number? If it is more than 300, if it's 315, 320, what is it you want?
Yeah, he's not holding out probably for an extra million a year. That's
what I'm saying. At what point, what's your number then? Oh, it's more than 300, and you're saying no. Out of hand, no, not enough.
I don't buy it because it came out 2 days after the Machado deal, and all of a sudden, the guy that's really close with the agent comes out, he got $300 million. That everyone was blown away. Oh, no, my guy turned down multiple $300 million offers.
Well, didn't technically the Nationals offered him $300, but there was a lot of deferred payments in it, I believe. I think. I could be.
I don't know about that.
I'm getting
that.
Some weird looks here, but I think that's what happened.
The thing that I do know is the Phillies are still in, and they want to spend their money on him. And if they have a better deal, if they got more than 300 on the table, what number are you waiting for?
Great question. And what do you really think you deserve here? Like, I know what the agent thinks he deserves, but like, what if you're Bryce Harper and you want a job?
Well, like, there's a point where you say, I'm going to hold out to the last minute to get the best number. When's the last minute? Because spring training has begun.
Right.
And I'm curious to know what his date is in terms of what day he thinks, you know, this is the drop dead date. We take the best offer on this day. What's that day? And what's his number that he wants to hit? What number today would get him into camp and get him into spring training with his new team or his current team?
Sounds like a car salesman. What do I have to do to get you in this bad boy today?
What do I have to do to get you in this today? How do I close this deal before you walk off the lot, Bryce Harper? What's your number? What number do I have to meet? I'll go talk to my manager. He's never done this before, but I'll go talk to the manager about this price.
I could get fired here, you know?
He's going to throw in the clear coat. He's going to throw the clear coat in. He's never done this. The first time this ever happened. Special deal. What's that number to get you in today?
I don't know. I mean, for Harper, for Dallas Keuchel, for Craig Kimbrell, for, I mean, all these guys, like, this offseason has been so... I mean, it's. I think it's killing the game. I honestly do. I think the fact that this, because if you think about it, here in Boston, we had a World Series parade.
Yep.
We had the Patriots still, you know, soldiering on. They have their parade. We have two parades. And in between those two parades, nothing has happened in Major League Baseball. Nothing. And while here in Boston, we have this World Series to sort of fall back on and the Patriot and everything else, think about every other market. Every other market out there who knew that their team may or may not have had a shot at Manny Machado or Bryce Harper, and they're getting excited about it. And now Machado goes to the Padres. Bryce Harper probably going to end up with the White Sox. Like, oh, just shoot this offseason in the back of the head already. Let's just start the year and act like this never happened. Because honestly, I think there's so much damage has been done to the sport and just the idea of an offseason and free agency and everything else in terms of player movement, which used to mean something in baseball. They used to be a big deal. People cared about that. Now, I don't know if it's the players or the owners or some combination of the two, but they are really doing everything they can to just kill that, to just make that a thing of the past. And that sucks. That's the first step down the death staircase of baseball, I think. I really do.
They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
A lot of third line talk coming up on Felger Maz, 2 o'clock. Get on board now. If you can. Oh, I threw the sheet away. Hold on. I forget the sponsor. Hold on! Today's takeaways are brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. If you're not close to an Awaken 180 location, their worldwide program offers the same great results from wherever you live online at Awaken180WeightLoss.com. There you go. Who's filling in tonight on the nighttime show?
Joe
yep. Murray tonight.
Right.
All right, let's get to the takeaways. Big piece of sound we played quite a bit today. It's worth playing one more time. It's Kyrie Irving yesterday with the media.
Kyrie,
do you want to say anything about that thing or whatever, the cold water?
The what?
Do you want to say anything about that, about the video, to kind of chill it, or what? People always are talking about it, Kyrie.
What does that matter to me? Somebody was... Listen, I don't have a private life when I'm out there in the NBA. Somebody wants to take a video and... I mean, it is what it is. Pour water on it? I'm a human being talking to another best friend of mine. Like, putting... It's just crazy. You know, this is... I mean, this is the stuff that just, like... just doesn't make the league fun. Like, it doesn't make the league fun. Nobody helps promote the league even more by doing bullshit like that. Of just fictitious putting things on, like... what we're talking about. Like, it's just, it's crazy. I guess that's what you want, huh?
No.
He doesn't want to cool it. And on that part, just that particular part, I think he's right. It's not his job to have to tell you what wasn't going on there. And say what you want. You don't know what the conversation was. It's not like we actually know what was being talked about. We're speculating. And he's not required to shoot down speculation. That he doesn't have to do that. So on that particular part, I think he's right.
Yeah, and then he kept going.
The other parts, though, I think he's got some things wrong.
How about the fun part, though? What does he want? What is he and Durant, what do they want?
I have no idea. I wish I knew. I wish I understood.
They just want to play basketball, man.
Just want to have fun, man. Just want to have fun. Okay. All right. Well, winning's fun. Isn't winning fun?
The soap opera sells. That's what makes them make gobs of money.
Right. And not only that, they're all willing participants in the soap opera.
Yeah.
They all want to pretend otherwise, but they are all willing participants in the soap opera that is the NBA.
Durant's even worse because he keeps signing these one-year deals. Like, buddy, you signed a one-year deal. Like, what do you think? No one's going to ask you about it? Like, Kyrie, at least he's at the end of a contract. Durant signed up for this, literally.
Dude, that's on you. It's your deal. Have anything else?
You talking to me?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, you didn't have one.
I thought, for the takeaway, excuse me, yeah. The main takeaway I have is that we certainly have been neglecting the Boston Bruins. And I think
that's a big takeaway.
Got
called on it multiple times.
Got called several times today with people saying, how can you keep talking about Kyrie Irving when your Boston Bruins have just traded for a new third line center? And you know what? I got to say, I like the trade. I think they're right. I think
they did not give up on Ryan Donato too soon.
No. Well,
you're wrong on this.
I think Donato.
Nope.
If he had stayed a little longer, maybe if you had decided you wanted to really commit to him like that. But the thing about Donato, he's a restricted free agent at the end of this year. They would have had to make a decision on him at the end of the season anyway.
Well, then why not do it now and get something in return?
That's fine.
What if they had already made their decision on him and that he was gone at the end of the year?
Yeah.
They didn't want to have him. So get something in return. And they got a guy that has another year to go. Also, Chauncey Billups today. Chauncey Billups does not believe that Kyrie is a great fit for Brad Stevens.
You know, you look at the way that they play, you know, they're, and it's crazy to say this, Ryan, but they're fine without Kyrie. You know what I'm saying? I think Brad is like a system coach and a very good one. And his system is kind of like ball movement, people movement, and they play that way almost better, you know, for that system when Kyrie is not really there.
So is he a part of the media machine that's a problem?
Chauncey Billups?
Yeah.
I'd say probably the biggest part of it.
I'd like to see someone take it up with him. I'd like to see someone go to Chauncey Billups and say, how dare you say these things? How dare you speculate on these items?
You don't know. You
know, Chauncey Billups thinks he's unhappy. Chauncey Billups said he believes Kyrie Irving is unhappy in Boston.
You ever noticed? Sorry.
First of all, I was surprised when he said it. And I didn't know if he just got caught up in the emotion of the event. But I was really, really surprised that he had went there and pretty much committed to him. And then he put it in reverse and was like, nah, this is, you know. I was surprised, you know. But you know what it tells me, though, Ryan, is this. Like, to me, he's not happy there, you know. You go through the season, they've underachieved. It just doesn't seem like a lot of synergy and harmony with the squad. Like that. So it's basically, to me, it's him saying, I'm not sold on this situation.
Chauncey Billups with Ryan Russillo. Billups, connected guy, knows a lot of players. Paul Pierce's friend. Paul Pierce has friends. Celtics friends. Just a lot of friends.
Mm.
Yeah.
It is interesting how when the ex-players start, you know, sure giving their takes on these things.
Yeah, they're still, because they're still tapped in.
Right.
And he's a recent ex-player.
You also don't quite
get
that.
He's not a guy who played 15 years ago. He's a guy who's, in the last few years,
sure,
has become a media guy.
You don't get that same pushback maybe that a Steve Volpett might get, you know, asking his questions to Kyrie Irving.
Right.
As opposed
to two people talking, having a conversation.
Oprah knows Tom.
Me and one of my best friends talking.
Oprah knows my wife.
It's my business.
Why not have a dinner?
Why not have a dinner? Says Jim Gray.
that was excellent.
Oprah knows Tom.
Kyrie knows Kevin.
My wife knows Oprah. All of the above. I am not back tomorrow. I got a long weekend on tap, so
I'll be sitting over there tomorrow.
You guys have fun.
Yeah, me and Teddy J.
Try not to snap out on the callers again. Okay?
I'll try not to snap on Ted either.
Do your best.
Don't want that to happen.
Yeah, no, that could be dangerous to your health
for sure.
Felger Maz coming up next. Don't go anywhere. There's a lot of puck talk on the way for all those complaining to us that we didn't talk enough Bruins today. All right? Those guys got you covered in 90 seconds. Bye.
All right, so what do you want to talk about then, Brandon?
Hey, the 82 preseason is in the books, and it's finally time for the real season. So don't miss out on any of the NBA playoff action at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. From the play-in tournament through the finals, every opening tip to all those buzzer beaters, DraftKings Sportsbook has you covered with same-game parlays, live betting, odds boosts, and much more. And if you're new to sports betting, it's super easy to get started. Try betting on something simple like a team to win. Go to the app, select your team, and place your first bet. That's simple. And Here's something to sweeten the deal. For new customers, bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app again, use the code SPORTSHUB, and if you're a new customer, you'll get $200 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. That's only on DraftKings.
Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or gambling helpline MA.org. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com. Physically present in Massachusetts. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Eligibility and deposit restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.draftkings.com/basketball terms.